Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 14. Our text this morning is in verse 30. And here our Lord says, "Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world comes and has nothing in me." Now, I would remind you that Christ was here saying his farewell to his disciples, the intimate circle, the 12, and that he would never be with them in the same way that he was after this time. He's going to the cross. The cross, they're going to go out into the garden. And Jesus knows what's ahead of him because he knows everything. And he knows they're going to arrest him. He knows they're going to give him a mock trial. He knows they're going to crucify him. And he's going to die on the cross. And then on the third day, he's going to rise from the dead and go back to his Father. And he'll come back. Because he keeps telling them, "I'll come back to you. I'll come again. But never like he was." And so he's saying a goodbye to them in our text here. These are his final words. And he says, "I'm not going to talk much with you." Now we know, and we're not real sure about these chapters and how they go together. They could have been before he makes this statement in the 14th chapter, or they could have been after. I kind of think they were after. But what he's saying, "I'm not going to speak a great deal to you after this." In other words, these are going to be the final pages of my purpose and plan and what I'm doing for you, and I'm not going to say much beyond that. So there actually, there's two characters in the text. You notice it says, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you." Now that's his disciples. He said, "For the prince of this world comes," and then he puts that latter clause on, "and has nothing in me." So first of all, we've got the prince of the power of the air. And then we've got the prince of peace, the Son of God. And he says, "You don't have anything in me." That is, the devil doesn't have anything in me. That's a great statement. This means that the devil was coming against Christ in such a manner, and he'd always been against Christ. I mean, go back through the history of the Bible to Genesis 3 and you find the devil is there and he's against Christ. He's going to bruise Christ's heel. Christ will bruise his head. And all down through the ages, the devil has been against Christ and his people. But I'm not a baseball player. I used to play when I was a kid. I enjoyed playing. I never went to any of the major games. But I liked what Babe Ruth said one time. He said, "Swing harder on your last strike." In other words, give it all you got. Satan was giving it all he had when he came, as our Lord tells us he was about to do in the text. In some, we don't know all the details. Christ knew them. But he tells us Satan is coming. And he's coming against Christ. But Christ says, in essence, "Don't let that alarm you. He hadn't got anything in me." That's a powerful statement. I hope we can understand it as we look end of this scripture this morning. He's coming against Christ, God's Son, God's only Son, the Savior of sinners, the way, the truth, and the life, as he tells us he is in the first part of this chapter. But Satan is opposed to him in every way, and he wants to stop everything that he's doing. And that was his purpose. So let's look at, first of all, the prince of this world. Jesus says, the prince of this world. We learn in other places some of his other titles and names. Let me give you a few of them. He is called a fallen angel. We recognize him as an angel of God that rebelled against God. Now, don't ask me how that was possible, because I don't know. But I know that he did. And he rose up and took a third of all the angels of God. We're talking about the holy angels of God. He was able to get a third of them to follow him in his insurrection, his rebellion against God and against his Son. Apparently, the devil, another name for him, was of the highest order. There is, we know, archangels, or apparently these, we know of at least two of them, Gabriel and Michael, who were above others. And they had superior positions, whatever they were. And you'll find that in Jude 9. You'll find them mentioned in other places. I'm not going to turn to them. But the term Satan is from the Hebrew, and it means adversary. And in the Greek, it's diabolos, and that's where we get devil. And so we have these two terms, Satan and devil. Also, he's known as a deceiver, as a tempter, as the father of lies, as the enemy, the evil one. And in John 8:44, he is called a murderer. And if you stop and think about it, every human being that has died in the history of the world died because Satan did his work in the Garden of Eden. Eve bought into it, and Adam went into it willingly, and every member of the human race has to die, except those saints that will be living when Christ comes. You talk about a murderer. Stalin and Hitler and all of those others put together are not even to be considered. So we learn also in various passages, turn to 2 Corinthians 4:4, and we can see something about the devil here. He's called in this text, 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world. Now, he's not a God. That's a figure of speech. He's the God of this world. He is controlling the world system, not only in our time, but in every age since sin came into the world. So Paul says here, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And then he explains in verse 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Do you realize that if it wasn't for the sovereign power of Jesus Christ, nobody would ever be saved? Because they're under the power of the devil himself. And it takes the power of Christ to overcome that and to bring an individual to Jesus Christ. So he is also known, Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10, and this is one of his most significant types of work. Revelation 12, 10. And he heard a voice in heaven saying, "Now is come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ." And listen to this now. "For the accuser," here's the devil, but he's called the accuser because of our brethren, "is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb." But that tells us about what the devil is. Don't ever get the idea in your mind. Somebody said one time that devil was just evil with a D in front of it. It's not true. The devil is a real person. He's just as real as death. And you, whatever you believe, don't ever let anybody sell you the idea that the devil is not a real creature that's doing all the damage he can, accusing the brethren, hating them, and hating Christ. And Christ is ruling over him, but he's a real person. He is destined to the lake of fire. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 20, and verse 10. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." The devil is going into the lake of fire. No question about it. He knows he's going there. For when you see in passages like Matthew 8 and verse 29, here we have an example of a demon. Now, a demon is different than the devil, but they are fallen angels like he is. And in Matthew 8, 29, here are these demons that was in the demoniac of Gadara. "And behold," this is the demons that are in that man, "and behold, they cried out saying, 'What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Are you come hither to torment us before the time?'" They know that that time is set, and they know that's where they're going. And the devil knows he's going there too. But he wants to do all the damage he can as long as he can. So he is the prince and the power of the air. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. "Wherein in time past," he's talking about the saints at Ephesus now, the believers, those that have been saved by the grace of God, "wherein in time past you walked, you lived according to the course of this world." And then he says, "according to the prince of the power of the air," the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we're dead, we were dead in sins and trespasses, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you're saved. That tells us how we came to know our Savior. Therefore, the prince of the world, the prince and the power of the air, Jesus says here in the text that he was the prince of this world, John 14:30 now, the prince of this world is coming. How and what made the difference, we don't know. But apparently, the devil marshaled all of his forces together to make the ultimate attack upon Jesus Christ. And we don't know exactly what his designs were, except he wanted to defeat the purpose of Jesus Christ to save his people from their sins. So the prince of this world comes. Now, there's several things we learn from this. Notice that he says the prince of this world comes. Listen, when those people tell you that Satan is bound and he's in the abyss, bound with a chain, you better not believe it. Christ said the devil is not bound in the abyss. He's coming. He's moving. He's free. There were no chains on him. In Jude 6, we learn that there are some of these demons, and we don't know what makes the difference. The scripture hasn't revealed it. But some of them are bound in everlasting chains of darkness under the judgment that was to come. But not all demons are bound, and the devil is not bound at this time in our text. He will be. So Satan is not excluded from this world. He's, at the time Christ was speaking, operating in the world, and he still is to this day. And he will be until the Lord Jesus Christ tells his angel, the holy angel, to arrest the devil. And he comes down from heaven with a great chain in his hand. And he binds the devil. And he opens up the bottomless pit. And he puts it in there and shuts the door on him and seals it for 1,000 years. But that hadn't happened. It's out there. It's going to happen, but it hadn't happened yet. So Satan, what's he doing? He's going up and down in the world, walking to and fro in the earth, as he tells us in Job 1:7. And he is still sifting believers. Look with me at Luke chapter 22. And verse 31. And the Lord said unto Simon, that's Peter, behold, Satan has desired to have you. And that you is a plural. All of you. All the saints. That he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you're converted... Now he's talking to Peter. Peter was a saved man. You see, there's an original conversion that we experience by the grace of God when we're first saved. But there are other conversions in our lives. Not that we're saved again, but that we have to be converted. We have to be brought to align ourselves with the truth of God. And Peter was out of alignment with Jesus Christ. And Christ says, when you're converted, that is when you come to your senses, Peter, when you recognize the spiritual truth, then strengthen my brethren. So you see, there are many conversions in the life of a believer. Therefore, the devil is still binding men in various ways. And I mean physically, he's doing it spiritually, he's doing it with morals, he's doing it with sexual impurity, he's doing it with sins, with drugs, gambling, and any other sin that you can think of. And devil has these in his hand, and he uses them to bind sinners. That's what the devil is able to do, and only by the grace of God can we be delivered from him. Satan then is leading men to do his will, even in persecuting Christ, setting up a system as he was right then, because he had Judas, who was a professing Christian. Jesus had chosen him as an apostle, even though the Lord knew that he was not saved. He was a devil. John 6:70 tells you that Judas was a devil. That is, I believe that he had a demon in him. And then in the last night, the scripture says the devil entered into him. In some more significant way than he ever had been before. And of course, he was doing the bidding of the devil, already made the arrangements with the priests at the temple. They gave him 30 pieces of silver to deliver Christ into their hands. And so he goes on his way, and Christ said to him, "What you do, do quickly." He knew exactly what he was going to do. Now, Satan also attacks the saved, and he's partially successful in that. Let me show you. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. And I want you to see what he did to his inner circle. That is, the devil did to Christ's inner circle. Matthew 26 and verse 56. "But all this was done," that is, what was the people that came out to arrest Jesus, "that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." But mark the last statement of that text. "Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." Peter, who had made his boast, "I will die with you, I will never forsake you," forsook him and fled. All the others did the same thing. So, notice also in verse 74. Now this is concerning Peter alone. This is in the house of the high priest, or in the garden of his house. Listen to what the scripture says. "Then began Peter to curse and swear." This is a child of God. This is one of Christ's disciples, an apostle. "And he began to curse and swear, saying, 'I don't even know who this man is.' And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, 'Before the cock crow, you shall deny me thrice.' And he went out and wept bitterly." When you hold down the pedal on a piano, you can take a guitar or any other instrument, and if you strike a note that's the same as one of those strings in that piano, that string in that piano will vibrate. It's like it's in sympathy with the other instrument. And let me tell you that we, as the children of God, have strings. that are on the same frequency as the devil. And when he sounds one of those tones, it will vibrate in us. And if it's not but for the grace of God, we will follow the devil. That's how we need a Savior that not only saves us originally, but that will keep us all through our lives. But Christ is telling us here in our text, I'm not like that. There's no cord, there's no string in me that vibrates at the same frequency of that in Satan. He's coming against me, but he has nothing in me. We can be thankful that we have a Savior that is so far above us that he can save us and keep us, because there's nothing in him that the devil can take hold of us. Now, Christ informs us here that the devil is coming against him and has nothing in him. This means that nothing about Jesus Christ is under the influence, or ever has been, or ever will be, of the devil. Much less that the devil could ever control him. He was tempted for 40 days in the wilderness without eating. You talk about hunger. And the devil said, if you be the Son of God, just turn these stones into bread. And do you remember how Jesus replied? It is written in the scripture, said he, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Christ resisted him. And there was nothing that Satan could take hold of in Jesus Christ. Everything that Christ did in his lifetime was under the purpose of the Father and under his own control. He said, they're not going to take my life from me. How could that be? He was going to the cross. Jesus said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. And to prove it, he said, I will take it up again. And he did. The devil didn't have a thing in the world to do with the death of Jesus Christ. All his planning, all his scheming, never accomplished one thing. Because Jesus Christ died when he was ready to die. He died according to his own purpose, according to the purpose of his Father. And his heart beat until the exact moment that Jesus Christ said, it is finished. And then he died. They didn't kill him. That's important for us to understand. Now, let me show you. Turn with me to John 6, verse 38. John 6 and verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, now he's talking about his people, I should lose nothing. The devil has been trying throughout all history to take the child of God, any one of them or all of them, if he could, out of the hand of Christ and destroy him. Jesus said, never happen. Why? Because Christ did not have anything in him that the devil could take hold of. But I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that sees the Son and believes on him. Can you see the Savior? Can you see him revealed in the scriptures? Can you see the truth of what he's saying? Can you see his power, his glory? When he says, Satan doesn't have anything in me, you talk about a Savior. You talk about somebody that can take care of you. I remember one of my old uncles, Uncle Joe Brady. And he married one of my dad's sisters, and her name was Dolly. And she got sick and was in the hospital. And Uncle Joe went to the hospital, and he went to stay with her till she came home. And the nurses and so forth, they said, oh no, Mr. Brady, you can't stay in the hospital here. So he left. A little while later, the nurse and the doctor was in my aunt's room, and the nurse felt somebody's foot under the bed. And she looked under there and she said, Mr. Brady, what are you doing under the bed? You can't stay in here. You got to... Before she could say much more, Uncle Joe Brady said, young lady, I took this girl when I married her and I promised her I was going to take care of her, and I'm going to take care of her. And the doctor said to the nurse, let him sleep in the bed right there. It's empty. I love that kind of stickability. Don't you? That's what Jesus Christ said. It doesn't make any difference what the world thinks. It doesn't make any difference what the devil does. You can't touch a child of God because he's in Christ. We're untouchable because Christ is untouchable. Isn't that a marvelous truth? Now he goes on to say here, and this is the Father's will which sent me, of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, not a single one of them, but should raise it up the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone who sees the Son, are you looking? Jesus Christ is bidding us to look unto him. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I'm God and there's none else, he said in the Old Testament. And that's true in the New Testament, and that's what he's saying here. And that believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Christ was ever on the alert to speak the truth and to tell the truth. He met a woman at the well and he asked her for a drink of water. And you know what he did? He preached the gospel to her and she was saved. He said, I am the water of life. And he had a teacher that come to him, a Jewish teacher came to him one night and he said, we know you're a teacher come from God. Nobody can do these miracles that you do except God was with him. And do you remember what Jesus did? He told him that without being saved, without the new birth, without being saved, nobody could have eternal life. But that everyone that believed on him, that is, Jesus Christ himself, might have eternal life. What a glorious message. You notice how easy Jesus took those statements of the woman at the well and of Nicodemus and instantly turned it and said, I am the bread of life. I am life eternal. I am the Son of God. And those that believe it are saved. Therefore, Christ took away our sins on the cross, and the devil couldn't find a thing in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is like pure glass. He's like stainless steel. He's like pure gold. But he's above all those things because all those things are mundane. Jesus Christ said to the devil, in essence, come here. Come here. You know why? He's in full control. He was going to the cross, doing exactly what he came out of heaven to do. And the devil couldn't add to it. He couldn't prevent it. And he couldn't bring it to pass. Only Christ could do that. Christ is in full control. And that's what Christ is saying here. The devil doesn't have anything in me. Look and see, you won't find. He never had a thing in me before the world began. He never had anything in me after I created the world. And after I've done all of these things, the devil is all done because Christ is the Son of God and he has all power. And he does exactly what he wants to do. And he's saying to you and to me, you need a Savior. I am that Savior. And if you look to me, if you believe on me, you'll be saved and you'll be kept for all eternity. And then in the last day of time, if you die before I come, before I return, no problem. I'll raise up your body and your spirit. I'll bring them together. You'll be glorified and you'll dwell with me forever. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus Christ was saying when he said, the devil's coming, but he won't have anything in me. May the Lord bless you to see it and to believe it.